prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. I'm getting emails about a statement I made yesterday on the show that we have a new sponsor called Quest Protein Bars. And they're going to be giving away two free protein bars to anyone who asks for two free protein bars, and they'll even pay the shipping. So you got nothing to invest except to request. But it's not up on the website yet. It's probably not going to be up on the website, if not next week, till the beginning of November, when their ad campaign starts. So yes, it is true. Quest will be giving away two of their protein bars to anyone who requests two. You don't have to pay shipping. You just have to supply your shipping address. One offer per household. We don't want any greedy gluttons out there trying to fill a box of protein bars on the backs of the rest of us who want to try the product. But stay tuned. I'll let you know as we get closer when that banner ad is up on the website. Okay, I've wanted to have this guy on the show for a couple years now, and he's very, very hard to reach because he's usually writing, and he does not generally do interviews, from what I understand, that easily. His name is Brooks Kubik. How you doing, Brooks?
Doing well, Carl. How are you?
Very good. And ironically, you and I lived in the same hometown when I was there for 22 years, and I am returning to Louisville, Kentucky.
We're going to have to train together when you get back.
Oh, no. You're not getting me in the gym, man. I've seen you lift. I'm not doing that. Sorry. Where do you train now? Do you train at a gym in Louisville, or do you train at, you have a home gym?
I train in my garage.
There you go.
I used to train in the basement. We called it the dungeon. And I've got a different house now, and there's a big old garage in the back, and it's the best place in the world to train.
Yeah, there you go. And no excuses, though. I can't get to the gym today. If you can't walk out the back door, and then something is up. All right, so let's talk about this. I have done some research on you, and very, very impressive. You've written a lot of books. Tell my audience, first of all, how you found your way into physical culture, because you are clearly a physical culturist. You love the old-time guys, George Jowett, I'm trying to think of some of their names now, Bob Hoffman and those guys, probably even Vince Gironda, I would imagine. How did you find your way into physical culture?
Well, I'm 53 now, so we're going back a long ways. I was 9 years old. I was a puny little kid. The biggest thing about me was these big black horn-rim eyeglasses that I wore. And I had asthma. I was so badly sick with asthma, I couldn't play games like the other kids. I couldn't run without getting out of breath. And it was really a problem. And as I got older, I felt more and more embarrassed about that. And, you know, the other kids were playing sports, and it just was really terrible. And my dad got a weight set and started working out. And he got some muscle magazines, and I started looking at those, and I started thinking, well, maybe if I did some kind of exercise, it might help. And the exercise that I chose was very simple. I lived half a mile away from school. I would run to school. And my asthma was so bad that forcing myself to run that half mile was just the hardest thing in the world. I got to school, I'd go lie under a bush somewhere because I was just panting and gasping and just in horrible shape. Every day I did that, and gradually it started to get easier. And I overcame the asthma that way. I was finally able to do what most people take for granted, which is breathe.
Amazing.
Now that sold me on the physical culture, and then I said, well, if that worked, what about other things? So I got the little kiddie version weight set with the concrete plates in plastic.
Right. What color were yours? Burgundy or silver?
No, I had the gold one.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. There was the gold, silver, and burgundy color. That's right. There you go.
So anyhow, I started doing that, and when I first started really weight training, I was 11 years old, and I made what I thought were amazing gains from 87 pounds to 102 or 103 pounds in about 3 or 4 months. and that pretty well sold me. And then I became a wrestler in high school. Very, very serious high school wrestler. I was a state wrestling champion in Greco-Roman style wrestling in the state of Illinois. And, of course, I used the weights and all the basic physical conditioning methods as part of the wrestling. And then just once I was out of school, stayed with it, read a lot about it, studied it, did a lot of experimenting, and that's pretty much the whole story.
Who was your favorite back in those days of the old-time bodybuilders and strength guys?
Well, my favorite bodybuilders were Reg Park, Sean Grimmick. As far as writers go, there was a guy named Bradley J. Steiner. You can still find Steiner on the web. He teaches martial arts at a website where he teaches American Combato out of Seattle, Washington. But Bradley J. Steiner was absolutely my favorite writer. He wrote for Strength and Health, Muscular Development, and most of all, Perry Rader's Iron Man magazine.
Yeah, yeah. Terry, that magazine had an impact on a lot of people, didn't it?
It really did. I mean, the first issue that I ever got was really pretty life-changing. You know, at that point in time, I really didn't know what I was doing weight-wise. I was following a Sergio Oliva 6-day-a-week double split program that I'd read about in another magazine. And, you know, at 80 pounds or so, that was a little bit out of my league, but I just didn't know it.
Right.
And so I got, you know, I finally found a copy of Iron Man and read an article by Brad Steiner. Immediately started training in a much more simple way on very basic exercises and basic 3-day-a-week total body routines. And that's when I finally started to make progress.
Now, for my audience that doesn't know much about you, and obviously anyone who does some research, you'll find out that back in the day, I want to say in the 90s, Brooks had a very, very specific attitude about lifting. He was I would consider you were hardcore back in the 90s. You were one of these guys that, you know, if you're not lifting heavy, you're wasting your time. And you had some amazing strength. Let's talk about some of the feats of strength that you were well known for. You did a close grip bench press with how much weight?
Well, I've done close grips in the gym, 315, 320 for 3 to 5 reps. Barbell curls, and I'm talking about very strict curls, 180 or 185 for 5 reps. Push press, 320 pounds. Let's see, a one-hand snatch or one-hand swing with a dumbbell, 151. One-hand clean and jerk with a dumbbell, 151. 600-pound squat. Competed in a lot of bench press and powerlifting competitions.
What were some of your best lifts?
Best lift in competition, this is competition rules, lower the bar slowly, dead stop at the chest, and you don't press until the referee says go, did 407.
At a body weight of what?
207.
Okay.
Competed in the 198 and 220-pound weight classes for about 3 years. Lifted in 2 different drug-free organizations. Won 5 national bench press championships in my age group, sub-masters at the time, and set about a dozen age group American, national, or world records in the bench press in these 2 different organizations. So I was pretty active for a good period of time.
And you are completely opposed to drugs, and you drug-free your whole career is what I've been told by some other people.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. One of the reasons that I wrote my first book, Dinosaur Training, which has a focus on going back to the old-timers and looking at things that the old-timers did, was I wanted a very clear delineation about, let's talk about what works on a drug-free basis. Because if something worked for somebody back in 1920 or 1930, you know darn well it was drug-free. If something works for somebody today, of course, you don't know.
Yeah. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and I want you to just kind of synopsize some of the things that you learned that worked back then.
Sure.
If you want to learn more about Brooks' writing, and he's got about 8 books out there, you can go to his website, which is Brooks Cubic. It's B-R-O-O-K-S. KUBIK.com. Got great articles there. He's got a blog there. He is a true physical culturist. He is someone who has dedicated his life to and helped teach other people to be physical culturists. It's not about bodybuilding with Brooks. It's about strength, it's about athleticism, and it's about fair play. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
And I'm hearing what you say, but I just can't make sense.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer, Anadrolic State GT, has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Sciences want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at Bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Find anti-aging medicine at its finest at Age Management. Management Panama. Doctor-supervised hormone replacement therapy can give you back your life. Increased energy, muscle tone, recovery, and libido while decreasing body fat. Science-based medicine under the guidance of Dr. Michael O. Sigler. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Management Panama banner to get started, or call inside the U.S. 305-395-4199. No matter where you live, Age Management Panama can help you. Just click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free consultation today. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Brooks Kubik. And we've been talking about dinosaur training. We're going to be talking more about this. What I want to talk about right now is back in the day when you wrote the original book, Dinosaur Training, what were like the top three things that you determined these things work, and these things work yesteryear and they'll work in the future as well?
Basic heavy-duty compound exercises, squats, deadlifts, bench presses, bend-over rowing, abbreviated training.
What do you mean by abbreviated training?
Abbreviated training is it's also known as divided workout schedules. For example, instead of doing a total body workout, you divide your workout into three segments, and you train each segment or you divide into workouts A, B, and C.
Right.
And so you do workout A one day, workout B another day, and workout C another day. But you do not do a 5-day or a 6-day or even a 4-day a week conventional split routine. What I do in abbreviated training is I train 3 days a week. I do workout A on Tuesday. I do workout B on Thursday, workout C on Sunday. So I hit each workout or each exercise once a week. Don't do a lot of sets, don't do a lot of reps, but what I do, I make it count, and that's what I call abbreviated training.
What do you mean you make it count? Do you train with greater intensity?
Mental focus, concentration, heavier weights, greater intensity.
Gotcha.
You know, it's a really heavy, hard schedule, and that's the way I've been training pretty much my whole life.
So you just train 3 days, just those 3 days in a given calendar week then?
Yeah.
So you got plenty of time for recovery too then, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was younger, when I was in my early 30s, I had made the switch from training a total body workout 3 days a week, where I was doing 9 or 10 different exercises. Each exercise was usually done for 5 sets of 5 reps, which I didn't think was a really, you know, a very, very much of a volume and intense program. I didn't think I was doing too much in the way of exercise.
Right.
And following that program, got my body weight up to about 175, 180. I could never push it beyond that point.
Right.
I switched over to as I said, I call it the abbreviated training program. And I did 2 exercises in each workout, squats and curls one day, bench press and lat pull downs another day, deadlifts and presses on another day.
And that's it.
And that was it. You know, I threw in some ab work at the end of the workout, some grip work, but those were my primary movements. I did each one once a week, usually for no more than 5 to 7 sets. For example, 5 sets of 5 reps or 5-4-3-2-1 or sometimes just 5 singles.
Right.
Sometimes 6 or 7 singles depending on the exercise. For example, squats, you work up to heavier weight, so you do more sets because you're moving up each set.
Right.
And on that program, I put like 200 pounds on my squat, my deadlift, about 50 or 60 on my bench press, and push my body weight from 180 up to about 207, 210, and then eventually got up to 220, 225 at a height of 5'9".
Wow. That's very impressive.
And it really, really showed me that you don't need to do a lot of exercise. What you do need to do is what you do, you need to make it count.
So do you think that most people are I hate even using the term overtraining because it's so subjective and it's grown to mean so many different things. Do you think that more people out there are training in excess of what they really need to be doing to get the progress that they're looking for?
Absolutely. When I was a kid, I read Arthur Jones a lot. You know, Arthur Jones is the inventor of the Nautilus machines.
Right.
But what most people don't know is that he was originally a free weight guy, and he did some very interesting writing about training with free weights, high-intensity style. A lot of that was published in Iron Man magazine back in the early 70s. And Jones made the statement once that if every trainee in the world cut his or her the amount of training in half, overall results as a whole would double. And that was because, he said, most people just do way too much work.
And they would Lee Haney used to say, too many don't annihilate, stimulate. So more people are annihilating the damage that they're doing to their muscles and the net, the damage that they're doing to the muscles versus the recovery, the net is still going to be less than it could be.
Absolutely. And that is something that I've always taken to heart. And what I've found in my own career is that I always have overestimated my recovery ability. Everybody does it. I mean, you know, you sit down. Think about it. It's really easy to sit down and write out or to knock it out on a computer screen, to write out an exercise schedule. It's ridiculously easy. It's much more difficult to go out and do it. And there's a tremendous amount of wear and tear on your body that you just don't realize until you start reducing the amount of work that you're doing. And what you find when you do that is that if you're training less often, if you are training with fewer exercises, fewer sets, fewer reps, you can focus on making every single thing that you do absolutely letter perfect.
And I have to agree on that. And hold that thought for a second. But I have to agree with you, especially from some of my own, you know, the things that I'm starting to learn about my own body. Mm-hmm. When you go into the gym and you know that you have 7 different movements to do, and you're going to try to do 3 to 5 sets of each of these movements, and you almost don't push as hard in the early stages of the move, because you know that you, oh my God, this is going to be an hour and a half workout. If I am smoked after the first 2 movements, what am I going to do? So you almost start pacing yourself and not pushing as hard. Also mentally, it's a lot easier when you know, I'm just going to do these 5 reps in this movement. I'm moving on to something new, and I'm going to be fresh with what I'm going to be doing. I believe that the effect on the central nervous system is one where the central nervous system almost invites the exercise instead of worries about it and goes, oh, this is going to be brutal today.
I love that phrase, invites the exercise. Yeah, that's exactly what you're looking for. You want that sense of every time you go to the gym, you want to be eager to do something. You don't want to be thinking, you know, here we go again. And you don't even want to be viewing it as tedious. Tommy Kono, Olympic weightlifting great, 2-time Olympic gold medalist, silver medalist in his final Olympics, lifting with a leg injury that was so bad he really could not even go into a squat, and he still took a silver medal in weightlifting.
Wow.
Tommy Kono has talked about how he always followed what he called quality training. He usually trained for an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half, no more than 2 hours, 3 times a week. And he was the best in the world. And he talks about giving, he'll be on a panel with, let's say, 5 or 6 other Olympic athletes. There'll be someone who won a gold medal in track, someone who won a gold medal in water polo or swimming or gymnastics or whatever. And they go in and they talk about how they would have to train every day for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day, train twice a day, et cetera. And then Tommy comes in and he says, well, you know, I won 2 golds and a silver in the Olympics, and I did it training a total of about 3.5 hours a week. He said, I'm very happy I'm a weightlifter because, you know, I was able to get a lot done in a very short amount of time. I didn't have to work as hard as everyone else who has to go out and train all day.
Yeah.
Now, he says that in part tongue-in-cheek.
Right, right.
Weightlifting is incredibly intensely concentrated. And most people, they miss that word, concentrated. They don't understand what it really means.
Well, what does it mean? I may be missing it as well.
You do not need very much. A little bit goes a very, very long way.
Like putting too much Kool-Aid powder in the appropriate amount of water, and you end up with something that is really tart and not drinkable. So, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you have to balance it, because if you put too much water in, then it's diluted.
Right.
And it's not very effective. And what most people do is they dilute their training. They do too much, and nothing is really hard. What your body needs in order to grow bigger and stronger, to have a growth response, is it needs to be pushed hard. But if you push your body hard enough to have a growth response, you can't push it too much.
Or too long.
That's the fine line. Or too long, yeah. Or too often. And that's the balance that people struggle with. And the interesting thing about it is that it's kind of a lifelong balancing act, because your limits change as you grow older.
Right.
Big surprise.
And we're going to actually talk about that in the next segment. But what I think the other issue is, how hard are you training? Everybody thinks they're training hard, but not everybody is really training hard. You see people at the gym basically going through the motions sometimes. Mm-hmm. What is there an indicator that I need to back off? I know. I remember Dan John came on my phone, my show one time, and he said he has a he trains a lot of collegiate athletes, and he says he has something that he does to test them. He'll have them go to a keyboard of a computer, pick a letter, and he'll say, in 1 minute, tap that key as many times as you can. And he watches them, then they count how many strokes that they did. And then maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, that's when they're well-rested. After doing a lot of training, he'll have them do it again, and he'll notice that they will maybe do 10% less, 15% less. And he says that's an indicator that central nervous system is way too fatigued. They need more rest. Not all of us are going to do that. That is actually a good thing to do, but is there a way to know? Like, I feel like I train really hard. I deadlift heavy. I squat heavy. You know, I do everything I can heavy except bench press. I can't because my shoulders are injured. How do I know that I need more rest? Or should I just assume that I do?
I would say assume that you do and test it by taking, add a rest day and see what happens.
Do you do anything on your rest day? Do you cardio, get up and walk in the morning, you know, anything?
In terms of building strength and power, it doesn't matter that much. In terms of health and just overall physical fitness, it's better to do something. And, you know, cardio is a really good thing to do as long as you're not overdoing it. Being active is a good thing to do, again, as long as you're not overdoing it. But that really is an individual question and an individual response. But you know, the question of how do you know if more rest would work better in terms of making you bigger and stronger? That's something where a little bit of experimentation can be shocking.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the kinder, gentler Brooks Cubic. As we age, things change, and we have to change with it, or we break. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. If you want to learn more about Brooks, and he's got a great website, you got to go check it out. It's brookscubic.com, BrooksKubik.com. A true physical culturist. Visit his website. We'll be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to pjbraun.com today. That's pjbraun.com.
Iron Mag Labs makes bodybuilding supplements that really work. Check out Iron Mag Labs' new Pro Hormone 1 Andro RX, a safe yet very effective pro hormone similar to the old 1AD. Or raise your natural testosterone levels with Anabolic Matrix RX. If you're trying to build muscle, Iron Mag Labs can help. You can find all of Iron Mag Labs products at bodybuilding.com and massnutrition.com or buy direct by visiting ironmaglabs.com today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com.
IronMagLabs.com today.
Introducing SNI Global. SNI Global carries everything both the weekend warrior and serious athlete needs. Whether you're looking for pre-workout, post-workout, whey protein, mass builders, anabolic agents, performance enhancers, or energy boosters, you'll find it all at SNIGlobal.com. Want to train like a machine? Then get to SNI Global today. Check out their performance pack, loaded with over 10,000 grams of potent ingredients designed to increase energy, strength, muscle growth, and recovery. Go to SNIGlobal.com today. SNI Global, train like a machine.
Hey, this is Carl. Are you tired of your current wireless service? Were you promised low rates but ended up on an antiquated system with poor coverage and slow texting? Well, now check out Lightyear Wireless, the official wireless company of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Lightyear Wireless banner to get the lowest rates for unlimited calls and texting on 3G and 4G networks. There's no reason to get substandard service any longer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Lightyear Wireless banner and get on board with the official wireless company of Superhuman Radio, Lightyear Wireless.
Get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Party people! Yeah. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Brooks Cubic. From my newly claimed hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. And I will be back for the holidays and living there again. Very excited about that. Anyway, okay. So guys like us, we get older, right? But we don't think we're older, right? We keep thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to keep adding to that deadlift, that squat. And then something happens. Our bodies go, what are you, stupid? So what's the difference? How do you train differently? What do you do differently now?
Well, my competitive lifting career was as a power lifter with emphasis on bench pressing. And in my late 30s, I started to get what happens to a lot of guys who do a lot of bench pressing, and that is sore shoulders. And started to feel like I had glass in the shoulders just kind of grinding against the joint every time I would bench anything over 225.
For me, it feels like a ratchet. There's like a the series of clicks. When I raise my arm or anything, it feels like there's a ratchet in there.
Yeah. It's a funny feeling and a funny noise usually. But you know, virtually everybody over a certain age who's active, not just weightlifters, but pretty much anybody, starts to have these kinds of problems. And, you know, a lot of people have knee problems, hip problems, back, whatever. The real problems that I've had have been the shoulder problems, and that goes back in part to a shoulder injury as a high school wrestler. You know, so something that happens when you're a teenager kind of dogs you for the rest of your life. But in any event, the bench press eventually became just virtually impossible to do. So I started to do more and more overhead lifting, and that combined with my interest in old-time physical culture led me to become interested in trying Olympic weightlifting, which is what was done in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, as opposed to really more of an emphasis on powerlifting-style training that came about in the 60s and 70s. So I began doing more and more Olympic stuff. And today, my training program is virtually entirely Olympic weightlifting. I have a nice garage gym with a lifting platform, Olympic barbell with rubber bumper plates, squat stands that I can move onto the platform or take them off if I wish. And although I have other equipment, that's really about all I use. And the exercises that I do are the snatch, the clean and jerk, and front squats. I do front squats because, again, the shoulders are sore and getting into position for the back.
I know. Isn't that amazing? That's me, too.
It's really tough.
You know what?
Yeah.
I tell people I don't squat anymore, and they go, why, your knees? I go, no, because I can't reach back that far. My shoulders hurt when I have to hold the bar.
Yeah. It's a very, very common problem for older lifters. Dave Draper, by the way, has a device called the top squat.
Which has the bar, like a yoke. The bars come over the front that you can hold on to it, right?
Yeah, and you can put your hands out to the front. It's really interesting for older lifters. And, you know, as I said, the younger guys don't know what we're talking about, but they will eventually. But anyhow, I've switched to the front squats for that reason. And I've switched to the Olympic lifts because, you know, as I said, it works a lot better for me to put weights overhead than to try to push them away from my body as if I were doing a bench press. So that's kind of been the change, and it's really been a good thing as I've gotten older, because the Olympic lifts, you need to concentrate on them, you need to get your brain into it, and if you're an older guy and you've got all kinds of things on your mind at the end of a busy work day, it's really good to have something where you go totally zen and you just get lost in what you're doing.
Yeah, it's almost like physical meditation.
Yeah, it really is, and you know, frankly, physical meditation is probably I think the best kind of meditation, and it's one of the real benefits of physical training. So, you know, I like that, and the other thing that I like about the Olympic lifting is that it is very precise, very fluid, athletic training. The late Pat O'Shea referred to Olympic style training as athletic strength training. It's a great term. And remember, my career goes back to high school athlete, high school wrestling champion.
Right.
And that athleticism is really important to me, and I want to maintain it as I get older and really keep it for the rest of my life. So I looked around, and I'm very impressed with masters weightlifters who just do amazing things in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and a couple out there are still doing it in their 90s, at an age when most people who are still alive can't move, can't walk on their own. And yet you have people who go out and still do, you know, a very nice-looking overhead movement with an Olympic barbell.
Right.
Not necessarily with a huge amount of weight on the bar, but it's they're moving, and they're moving in an athletic fashion. And I think that's pretty cool. So that's what I'm focusing on. And it's different, but it's a lot of fun, and it seems to be just the right thing to be doing at age 53.
Okay, now, before we talk more about that, I want to ask you, this just dawned on me, I want to ask you your opinion of something. Because you are a true physical culturist, and you harken back to the days of the AAU and Bob Hoffman.
Yes, sir.
Back in those days, a competitive bodybuilder, part of his score was his physique, and the other part was that he had to execute those Olympic lifts, right?
Yes.
Do you think it was a disservice to bodybuilding as a whole when Joe Weider came in and said, we're just going to appeal to the guys who aren't strong but look strong?
I definitely do. I think things were a lot better, you know, in a couple respects. And one was you did not have the dichotomy of training styles. When we started having people move away from
being strong. I like to say from being strong, right.
Yeah. When we started to have people be 100% bodybuilder and never think about weightlifting, or be 100% weightlifter and not think about bodybuilding, it really was probably bad for both. Tommy Kono, again, I mentioned him earlier, two-time Olympic gold medalist. People don't know it, but he won 4 Mr. Universe titles.
Wow.
And that was back in the 50s. You know, so I mean, that tells you something. I do a newsletter, the Dinosaur Files newsletter. I was doing an edit on an article about lifters from Louisville, Kentucky, and was looking at some material on Speck Lacey, who was a Mr. America winner in the 50s.
He's from Louisville? He's from Louisville?
Lexington.
Oh,
Lexington,
wow.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was, you know, he was Mr. America, and he was a Kentucky state weightlifting champion. He did both. Many guys did back then. John Davis, who was the second world champion that America ever had in weightlifting, he won the title at age 17 in 1938 in Vienna, Austria. And he then went on to win from 46 through 52. He was either Olympic or world champion every single year and was basically unbeatable. Probably the greatest Olympic lifter of the first 50 years of the last century. He would also enter the Mr. America contest.
Wow.
And he won the Best Back Award in 1940 without even flexing. He simply got on stage, turned around, and they saw this weightlifter back with, you know, incredible thick
muscle just hanging off of it, right?
Yeah, you know, the lower back just massively developed, these huge traps. He just stood there, and they said, bang, best back. And I think I do think it was a disservice, particularly for the average person who may never be the greatest weightlifter in the world or the greatest bodybuilder in the world, but could probably have a lot of fun doing both and could probably be very good at both. So why not double the fun? Why not do both?
Right, right. I agree. I agree totally. Now, you have a book out called Gray Hair, Black Iron that speaks specifically to guys like my age, older guys who are training, that espouses this Olympic-style lifting as its core, correct?
It does, but it also talks about training for guys who don't necessarily want to do the Olympic lifting. The real focus of the book is about what do you do if you're a serious lifter, and by that I don't mean a recreational lifter or someone who has gotten into lifting at an advanced age and is working out, and that's great. But the focus of the book is someone who's been doing it for a long, long time, and what they're finding is that their body is changing. And the things that worked for them when they were 20 or even when they were 30, maybe even when they were 40, those things don't work anymore, and in fact may be counterproductive. The bench press, in my case, being an example. There
right.
was a time when it worked great for me, then it started to be a detriment. And a lot of guys find that. And so the question is, okay, let's talk about our training. What can you do, what should you do differently as an older lifter? And one of the things I talk about in the book is that recuperation and recovery becomes paramount. Because if you don't recover, if you don't recuperate between your workouts, if you don't really allow time for your body to rebuild after a training session, what basically happens to an older lifter is you develop chronic exhaustion, chronic central nervous system failure, and you get sore, and you stay sore, and you are constantly stiff and sore, and then it's just, you know, a series of aches and pains and what I call dings and dents, and you're just never right. And what you want to do is you want to find, again, the right number of days per week to train, the right amount of exercise, the right intensity of exercise. You want to find weights that stimulate development but do not make you so terribly stiff and sore that you just can't move the next morning.
Well, and you know what else I found?
It's all a balance.
In 2005, I drove my body into the ground by squatting and deadlifting, and every session I would go in, I felt like I had to add reps or add weight. It got to the point where I would start obsessing the night before about going to the gym the next morning to train back or to train legs. And I really destroyed my central nervous system as a result of that. Now, fast forward to today. There are days where I go to the gym and I'm more invigorated as I'm leaving the gym than when I walked in. And there's days I go to the gym where I am exhausted. And I've learned now, those days where I feel invigorated by the workout, those are the workouts I need to promote more often, because you should walk out of the gym feeling stimulated and not beat down.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to take a last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up the show. Visit Brooks' website. It's Brooks Kubik, BrooksKubik.com. He's got this book, Gray Hair, Black Iron. I'm getting a copy for myself. I'm proud to say it. I'm 52, but I'm still chugging along.
You want to train harder. You want to get stronger. Then you want results.
Results from At Large Nutrition combines four proven ergogenic ingredients: CreaPure creatine monohydrate, beta-alanine, beta-hydroxy beta-methylbutyrate, and dextrose. Results will dramatically increase strength, promotes blistering intensity, supports huge increases in training volume, and increase lean muscle mass. And isn't that why you train in the first place? That's why the strongest men in the world depend on Results. You can find Results at atlargenutrition.com. Stop complaining and get results today. Go to atlargenutrition.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
There are few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today, I've wanted to have him on the show for a couple years, Brooks Cubic. Intelligent, insightful, and keeping the flame burning, the flame of physical culture, not letting it get lost in fragmented worlds of bodybuilding and powerlifting, but keeping it all together. I just got a text message from my new training partner, who's a listener of the show, comes to Phoenix once in a while and trains with me, Carlos Cardenas, who beats me up in the gym. He just texted me because last time we were in the gym and I was deadlifting, he says, "You need to get a t-shirt that says I'm 50 plus. What's your excuse?" So he just texted me and said, "We got to get that shirt for you that says I'm 50 plus. What's your excuse?" And he's loving the show. He says, "Brooks is a great guest." Thank you for that, Carlos. Anyway, you know, I go to, you know, what's really funny, Brooks? When I was still living in Louisville, I was training at Powerhouse Gym on Westport Road. And I wasn't even 50 yet at the time. And I was in some of the best shape of my life. I was still lifting very heavy. I'm not lifting as heavy nowadays because I don't train with that in mind to keep building on it, but I'm still very strong. But I was lifting very, very heavy back then. And I was in the gym and these younger kids were watching me deadlift. And that my posterior chain has always been my strong suit. The squat and the deadlift, I look like I'm really somebody important. And I remember the one kid saying to me, because this is back before I started coloring my hair, by the way, because my hair was fairly gray. And the one kid said to me, how old are you? And I wasn't 50 yet. I was actually going to be 50 in like a month. And instead of saying I'm 49, like most people do, and hold on to their youth, I said I'm 50 because I wanted them to understand that, you know, I'm proud to be 50. Look how strong I am. You know, I don't think that it's a death sentence anymore. We're at a really amazing place, guys like you and I, because our fathers probably, they didn't have the attitude about physical culture that we have. Our attitudes about physical culture are actually going to extend and enhance the quality of our lives as we get older because we continue to get stronger.
That's absolutely true. Sig Klein, the great physical culturist who started his career right around World War I, and then ran a terrific gym in New York City for about 60 or, gosh, maybe 70 years. I mean, a really, really long run. Sig Klein was of the opinion that after age 40, a man should never do any heavy lifting anymore.
What did he consider heavy? I mean,
well, he was a world record holder in his day. I mean, he weighed 150 and he did a military press with 225. And he never made any more limit single lift attempts after age 40.
Do you think that's wise?
But, you know, I don't think it's necessary at all. But the interesting thing is that that was the mindset back then,
right?
And the idea that you know, the idea was pretty firm in mind that after age 40. You know, you really needed to be careful, and you couldn't be doing very much heavy lifting.
So the attitude was, back in those days, the attitude was you adapted to your age. The attitude today is age adapts to what you do.
Yeah, yeah. Bill Pearl, do you remember when Bill Pearl won the Mr. Universe, the NABBA Mr. Universe?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've read about it, yes.
71, I
right,
believe?
Right,
at age 40, and everybody was shocked. They couldn't. They just couldn't believe it. And, you know, it was really... When we were growing up, a lot of the top stars in bodybuilding or weightlifting or pretty much anything, you know, they were over and done with by 30. You know, Arnold retired his initial retirement from bodybuilding competition. I think he was what, 27 or 28 years old.
And then he came back to beat
came back to beat Mensur and Zane.
Right.
5 years later. At age 32, which kind of shocked people, but you know, we're going back maybe 30 years in time, but it was a different world back then, and to keep going and to keep really seriously lifting, you know, past 40, 50, into your 60s, that used to be very rare.
But today it's very doable. Obviously, you have to be sensible. You have to finesse your body. You can't try to force your body, and you can finesse your body. And again, if you're getting enough rest, for those of us who are on hormone replacement therapy, that helps a little bit. Proper nutrition, you know, you can finesse your body. It doesn't have to be, oh, I'm past the age and I can't do it. I mean, look at Bernard McFadden. They you know, he got married the last time. What was he, like 87 when he got married? He was still doing handstands and headstands, and he was training every day. And the guy married some young girl at like 87 years old.
Well, that's what kept him young.
The marrying the girl. Now, was it the marrying them, or did he drink their blood? That's the question.
He had some kind of secret, but he was the first health pioneer.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know, watched his diet. He exercised every day of his life forever.
And he was a robust man in his eighth decade of life. He was robust.
Yeah. There was an article in Iron Man magazine that I read back in like 1969 or 70, where some guy studied the old timers and he did an analysis of how old they were when they passed away. And it was just amazing, the number that were up in their 70s, 80s, 90s. There were two centenarians out of a group of less than 100 people. And this was back in a time when to live to be 100 years old was almost unheard of.
Right.
And he took this data to an life insurance expert, and he said, you know, tell me what you think. And the guy couldn't believe it. He was like, There's no way that this group of people lived this long. Well, the way that they lived that long was physical culture, not necessarily bodybuilding or powerlifting or weightlifting or anything else, but physical culture, the total package.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the key. And you can continue to get stronger as you get older. You have to be sensible about it, but you just have to finesse your body. Well, I'm going to mention a name for you, and then we're going to plug your website again because we're going to come to the end of the show here.
Okay.
Jack LaLanne. What do you think of him?
Probably the greatest physical culturist of all time.
Is it because he popularized it and brought it into the mainstream better than anyone else?
In my mind, it's because of his longevity. He is still doing incredible things at, what, 90?
Yeah, didn't he just swim a boat around the harbor again in New York? I mean, he does that like every year now, right? It's not even, no one even pays attention. It's like, hey, look at that boat. Oh, that's Jack in front of it. He's swimming in around the harbor.
It's just amazing. And you have to remember, this is a man who was on the cover of Strength and Health magazine in, I believe, 1940 for the first time.
And do you know, Randy Roach told me that Jack and somebody else, whose name I can't think of right now, when they were in Los Angeles back in the heyday of physical culture and its burgeoning life into bodybuilding, they used to do anything that they could in order to enhance strength and health. And Jack was known to go to the stockyards and buy raw, fresh blood and mix it with raw, unpasteurized milk and drink it.
Paul Anderson did that as well.
So, I mean, these guys were geniuses. We look at these, we talk about this right now. There's probably people going, ew, look at the Maasai, the group in Africa. All they do is drink blood.
Mm-hmm.
And they tap these animals while they're alive and just drink enough. And then almost, they're like human mosquitoes, actually. You know, they don't kill the animal. They just keep drinking its blood. But
you're,
I mean,
you're good.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
Well, I was just going to say, you're lining things up perfectly for Halloween.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's true, right? Maybe I'll go as a Maasai this year. Okay. But anyway, the bottom line is we just need to look back at the fathers of physical culture, what they were doing to unlock the secrets to longevity and be open-minded about it, not go, oh, that's disgusting, I wouldn't do that. Before you say I wouldn't do that, you probably wouldn't want to take pharmaceutical drugs, but if you keep living the life you're living now, you're going to do it. So, I mean, I think it's really interesting. All right, well, listen, let's talk about the website, brookscubic.com. What can people get there? What can they find there?
They can find a number of different books that I've written on strength training, including dinosaur training and gray hair and black iron. And they can find something that they will not find anywhere else, and that is a series of novels that I'm writing about old-time physical culture. They're called the Legacy of Iron series. Because I believe that strength training and physical culture is a legacy that is handed down from generation to generation. They begin in the 1930s, and the series is gradually moving forward. We're up to the 1940s now, and there'll probably be about 10 books by the time we finish. I'll take it on up into the 1950s. And that is a bit of a hard sell for people sometimes to say, gee, do I want to read a novel? But you went to the movie Cinderella Man, you went to the movie Chariots of Fire, and you walked out energized. And that's really what these novels are trying to accomplish. They're trying to take you back and give you a sense of this is what it must have felt like to have lived back then, to have sat right next to at the dinner table or in the gym, trained shoulder to shoulder with John Grimmick, Steve Stanko, Bob Hoffman, Sig Klein, the other great physical culturists of the 30s and 40s.
Very exciting.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, no, that, and we, you know what we'll do? I'd like to get a couple of them and read them, and then we'll do another show about that because that's a really unique perspective to take to, you know, kind of be a fly. It's almost like a fly on a wall. And personally, I like reading fiction because, you can, not only can you learn a lot about yourself by reading fiction, but also it's just nice to get out of your head and get in somebody else's head for a little while.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah.
Listen, Brooks, I'm glad that we finally got to do this show, and I promise I'll have you back on, okay?
Pleasure.
And when I move
sounds
back
good.
To Louisville, I'll come and train with you, and you can thrash me. How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay. All right, so thank you to Brooks. Visit his website, brookscubic, B-R-O-O-K-S-K-U-B-I-K.com, and we will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.
spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.